Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
But I don't know if you guys know this. I've shared with some of the men, but there is a way, and I don't want anybody, folks, you got to learn this. There's a way to tell if there's sharks in the water. There is. It's whatever. And then you go by the shoreline, you know, for real. And then you just, just go by the shoreline and get your feet wet. And then you take your finger. This is very important. And you stick it in the water. Okay. And then you taste it. If it tastes salty, there's sharks in the water. So there it is. You will never go wrong. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I want to pray. God gave me a word now, and I'll do seriously. And on the parable of the sower, found on Matthew chapter 13, and Matthew 13, 3-9. And the title, what God gave me was the seed that fell along the path. And I'm going to pray, and then we'll read the word. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this honor, Lord, that you give me to be able to present the word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, Lord, and you, the one who convicts the hearts, you're the one who creates that yearning in our hearts, Lord, that I'm able to deliver this word, Lord, and understand it just as you explained it to me, Lord. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, this is going to be a short, but Lord, allow everyone to be attentive, Lord. All I need is 20 minutes, Lord. 20 minutes, Lord, that they can be attentive, Lord. They can receive this word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. It goes, I'm going to go ahead and 13, the seed that fell along the way. I think this is a very famous parable in Matthew 13. And as a matter of fact, you know, Matthew 13 has quite a few parables. And it says on verse 3, it says, NIV, got it. It says, then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out and sowed his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and spring up quickly because the soil was shallow. Verse 6, it says, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. 7, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And what God showed me about this great passage, you know, quite honestly, and we've heard it quite a bit, and a lot of people preach on the seed that fell on good soil. And it gives a percentage. It gives 100, it gives 60, and then 30. But that's not what God showed me to bring in. That's not what God spoke to me. Not about the seed that fell on the good soil. By the same token, not about the seed that fell among the thorns or the seed that fell on the rocky places. But he said, no, most people just don't think about this, but the seed that fell along the path, the way. I was like, how does that, you know? And I'm like, how does that, Lord? The seed that fell along the path. Because believe it or not, you know, we're all sowing whether we like it or not. We're all sowing whether we like it or not. You know, you might not even think, but people are watching you. People are watching me. It's like, how is that? Hang in there. I'm going to explain. You know, but first, before I go into the message, I want to explain what the word parable. I mean, how many of you know what the real word parable means? I mean, yeah, we hear it all the time, a story, you know, but what is, and allow me to define it. Let's get it over with. Let me define what parable is. You know, parable is a story. It's a simple story with a subject, you know, used to illustrate a deeper message. You know, in other words, a heavenly story using earthly characters, ideas, objects, or relationship. I like this. One of the commentaries said, a parable compares something familiar to something unfamiliar. You know, it helps us understand. Jesus used it to help understand spiritual truth by using everyday objects and relationships. Parable, simple as that. Something that we can relate to. And then, by the way, Jesus is the only one who has preached the kingdom of God from the kingdoms of God perspective. In other words, he came from there. So he's like, you know, on John 3:12, it says, if I've spoken to you on earthly terms and you do not get it, can you imagine if I bring heavenly? So that's why he had to go in and says, let me break it down here. And so he put parables. But I often, like I was, this thing was written 2,000 years ago, and I wonder if Jesus was here today, imagine that, just bear with me, if Jesus was here today, how would he relate to this parable? How would he, maybe just, Jesus is here telling us this parable. Would he say, well, a farmer went out to sow. Oh, how many of us really farm here? Debbie and Greg, you guys own like a little mini, tiny little Ponderosa, 10 acres over here. You guys are probably going to make that into a little venue place, right? I don't know if they're here. But I know that Gene and Vilma, they're not in, but I know that he owns like a little Ponderosa size property back in Illinois. But I don't know if they're farm. So no one, you know, actually, you know, you farm?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. One. Good. If we can go ahead and just modernize this and say, instead of that, you know, as a farmer went out to sow, how about if I, as the office person went to his work or her job, as the student went to school, as the dad went to the construction site to go work. The nurse went to the hospital to work, you know. And believe it or not, again, seeds that fell along the way. And then before I go in even deeper, I wanna go ahead and just present the characters. This is a parable that presents the characters. We have the sower, the one who's sowing. That's you and I who's sowing. We have the seed, which is the word of God, the message. And then we have the grounds, our hearts. So we got those three players there. You know, we're involved, we have the hearts, and then we have the seed, the word. And I remember that, you know, in creating this message and praying about it, I said, Lord, but what are some of the seeds that we are spreading without even knowing? And the first one is our attitude. Ooh, that's a big one. People, I mean, we were praying today, and Mark, I don't know if it was a place was on fire. And he said, guys, you know, we you know the attitude, who we are. I mean, we have this dynamite inside of us. So there are some people. Have you guys ever seen these people that they walk like the cruise director of the Titanic? Can you imagine what kind of day that person must have had? Oh, it's going down. You know. There's people who brighten the whole room just by leaving. You know. For real, they got their attitudes. Like, man, we got. I'm telling you guys, we got this inside. Our attitude is everything. That's one of the things that people are watching us. Attitude. I mean, our attitude is just like, wow. You know. I want to share this. My dad passed away in October last year. They say that if you live long enough, you start seeing people die in your family. I never had anyone pass away, anybody die. So my dad passed, he died, and he's from South America, he's from Colombia. So he left us, you know, a property down there. I haven't been down there in years, in over 30-something years, 34 or so. So my wife and I had never been down there. So we flew down there. We go find an attorney and figure this thing out. Okay, so we were there. But right before I left, the church prayed for me. Rick prayed, and also Derek Kasban came up to me, and he gave me a word. He said, hey, the Lord is opening doors, and you're to walk through the open doors, and you're to say yes, yes, until he tells you to say no. Remember that. Let's put that there. So we're down in South America now, in this city. I've been there in 34 years. I mean, down in, you know, and I'm there, and my dad, the place that he left us, it's in a nice area. And then about a minute away, there's this supermarket like Schnucks or Dierbergs, huge chain all over the city. So I go there with my wife, with Carmen. We walked there one morning, and then we were looking at it, and we couldn't figure out things. Man, I didn't know how money worked. Man, there's like thousands and thousands of dollars, and it was only $5. And you got like $100,000, 100,000 pesos. I'm like, so I'm there, and people are watching us. But they see our attitude, and then we start speaking to this lady, but she sees our attitude that is like she's drawn to us. Very lady that she's well dressed, and she starts speaking to us, and well, it turns out that she is the general manager, okay, of this place. So we say hi, whatever, and then the next day I come back bright and early to go buy bread and some fresh fruits and so forth. And we start talking. And she says these words, hey, we open at 7 o'clock in the morning. Do you mind coming tomorrow at 6:30 a.m. to bring us a word? Yeah, to bring us a word. I'm like, and then I remember, Derek, you're to say yes, 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 until I tell you say no. And God is like, I said, okay, I'll be here. Tomorrow, 6:30 in the morning. 6:30 in the morning. Well, so I went over and I like, Lord, I want to have the right attitude. Can we go into 2 Corinthians 2 verses 1 and 5, please? And I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to talk to these folks? I don't know any of them. I don't know. Oh, by the way, it's in another language that I got to bring this in. Ooh, like, whoa. So I'm there, and then I'm reading this scripture, and it says, and so it was, this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, explaining them. It's so beautiful. It says, brothers and sisters, it says that when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed. Remember, he's a doctor. This guy knows his stuff. This guy is good at it. It says, No, I didn't want to do that. It says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ, that him is crucified. I came to you in weakness with a great fear. Can we go to the next verse? It says, in trembling, because my message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your path might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. And that was my prayer. I said, Lord, I have a little message. I have a little outline. I can bring something. But no, my attitude was, Lord, I want you to bring the word to these folks. And then the Holy Spirit just whispers in my ear. I mean, guys, it's just, I will give you the word when you're ready. I'm like, what? And I gotta preach 6:30 in the morning the next day, bring a message there to people that I don't even know. So I'm there, and I'm like, okay, I'm preparing. So I prepare something, and I went in, and this early in the morning came in. My wife and I will pray together, and then I left. A minute later, I'm there, opened the door at 6:30 in the morning. The guy opened the door, I guess a guardsman, whatever, and I walked in, and there's just people there. And then the lady came up and said hello, and she got her microphone, whatever. Daily section, come all over, and then starts calling people over, you know, produce, come over. Bro, I mean, started calling all these people, and before I know, I have all these folks here, and I'm like, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? And at that moment, the Holy Spirit just whispers in my ear, talk about their national anthem. I'm like, what? Their national anthem. I don't know it. I don't know it. But I do know it's the last sentence of it. I don't know why, but I knew this. The last sentence of the Colombian national anthem says, and believe the words of the one who died on the cross. That's what it says. Look him up. And believe, and it said, and don't forget, and don't forget the words of the one who died on the cross. And I heard it, and that was my open door. I went through there, and that 30 minutes that they gave me, God showed up. And I made a prayer, and people were like, people in tears, and I prayed. But I let God do it. I said, Lord, it's not my attitude, it's your attitude. Change my attitude so I can bring you attitude. Seeds that we're planting, that we're being scattered, because we think that nobody's watching. Yes, our attitude. Lord, change my attitude. Lord, help us. I remember a message by Pastor Tom years back. He says, sometimes we need an attitude check, because our attitude and our personality have BO, bad odor. So sometimes we have to do this, guys. Ooh, I gotta go change. And sometimes accountability. You know, we need friends. Be accountable so they can keep us honest. One time I was working the door. I'll never forget. One of my good friends, I'm not gonna mention his name, came up to me and he says, "Give me a mint. Hey, buddy, you need this." Ooh, too much coffee. Thank you. Accountability. Build accountability. I mean, get people. Hey, you know, guys, I'm not being paid for this, but on 6:30 in the morning on Saturday, we got men's coffee. Just guys hanging out, having coffee. Hang out with us. You know, believe me, you will walk different. When you come in, you will not walk, you will not go home the same. Plus, your wife will be sleeping, so they're not going to worry about you. Come in, for real. So, and then before I move to the next point, and this really, I close my eyes and I see, I have this engraved. As I was driving, they were driving me down in the city, and down in South America, in Colombia. We were at a poor area, and I saw this man who made a cart, like a supermarket cart, but he made it of plywood, and they put some wheels on it, and he was just pushing it, collecting stuff that he can recycle so he can go sell and make something, pennies. But on the side of the car, he must have found some white paint, because it was white, and he wrote these words, "Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." And he was pushing the car. And then for a minute, we just locked eyes. For a minute, they're driving me here, and he's pushing the car, and we locked eyes for that minute. And I saw him, and this guy was full of joy, his attitude, everything. And and to this day, I still have his image just there. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Somebody once wrote that, you know, attitude is what, 80%, and then effort is 20% in life. We can go through anything if we just have the right attitude. And people are seeing that. People are seeing us. They're like, you think they're not, they are. You know? So, attitude. The next, in Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to the former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We change our attitude and it starts affecting our mind. We change our mind and our heart to open up to do what God wants us to do. Everything goes from there, attitude.
good.
Attitude. And we got to, we got to walk sometimes. And then, guys, just like, you know, sometimes life wants us to become like Eeyore. Somebody mentioned Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Hello. Hey, it's going to be a beautiful day.
I don't know why it's going to be so beautiful.
guys, what we got is, let's change our attitude. Modify our attitude. Build a wall. Where's Holly? Holly, love you. Holly, you preached a message years back. Build a stone wall. Never forget that one. I have a stone wall made of rocks. You know, and stone wall, and stone, not bricks. Bricks are boring, man. They're all the same cut, the same color and all that. Stones are fat, small, you know, small stones, and they're all different. Diversity. Get yourself a stone wall. People that you can call in time of need. It says, help me with my attitude. They'll keep you straight. Attitude. Second one is our testimony. What's our testimony? We're on our way to work, and people are seeing our testimony. Our testimony. What is our testimony? It's our calling card. It's who we are now that we're being redeemed in Christ. It's a modern day, it's our LinkedIn. Oh, man, people, oh, have you seen my LinkedIn? You know, it has like X many followers, whatever. It's our Instagram, whatever. It's who we are, our testimony. We are not perfect. Wait a minute. We're not, people are looking at it and they're like, oh, this guy. No, we're not perfect. We shank a few, man. We're not. But we're different. And when we hurt somebody and when we wrong somebody, we go out and say, not if I hurt you, it's no. I am sorry because I hurt you. Can you please forgive me? What can I do to make this right? Whoa, that's a whole different ball game now. We're not perfect. We're not. We're all broken people. This is a hospital. We're all broken people. But we're being redeemed by the blood. And we'll come together to make us ourselves better for His glory. Our testimony. Testimony is everything. Yes. It's everything, man. We can do a lot. And if we fail with our testimony, we can kick it with our feet. And then there goes what God did. Testimony. Lord, look at yourself in the mirror and says, allow me to see myself humble in my own eyes. Humble. And just be willingness to be teachable. Willingness to say, when we're wrong, somebody to say, hey, I am sorry. Again, I keep saying this. We're not perfect. We're not perfect. We're just different because we are being redeemed. That's one of the seeds that the Lord that we are sowing, our testimony. And then I want to concentrate on the last one. That's where, and I'm going to start wrapping things up. The next one is the biggest one of all, and we've been touching on it. Debbie, you brought it in. God was moving in, which is modeling, not the gift, but modeling the fruit of the Spirit. Because a gift is a gift. Oh, you got great people. Oh, he's a great teacher, whatever. But the fruit is something that we worked on. If we want to go ahead and put this on Galatians 5, 22, 23, please. Thanks. It says, you know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Ooh. Joy, that's, you know, peace. See, those were brought up today. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. My gosh, that's a hard one. Sometimes I just want to, we'll leave it at that. Self-control. Against such things, there's no law. It takes work. And people are watching us. A few years ago, and when I was preparing this message, God just brought this to life. God brought it in, and I'm like, wow, and for such a time as this. A few years ago, my wife and I, we were coming off Target. The one located in Carterville by highway, by Mid Rivers, all the way down close to 94. We were coming out and it started raining. So I remember running towards the car, and then I opened the door for her, and then I opened mine, and then there I saw a money clip. You know what a money clip is? Not a wallet. It looked like a wallet, but it's a clip, and it had cash. And then I went in and took it inside, and I'm inside the car, and then I'm looking out and it says, look what I found. And so I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at a bunch of 20s, 10s. It had money. It had a couple credit cards, and then it had a driver's license. So my wife, like, oh my, I mean, so I said to myself, well, man, I wish we had a number. We can go ahead and call this guy. And she says, but wait a minute. We have the driver's license. Let's look it up. So we went over and we put it in the GPS, the address, and it said, you're 5 minutes away. Well, let's go deliver this. Oh, wait, it gets better. So we go deliver this. So actually, it was this neighborhood, really nice, fancy neighborhood off Wolf Run. I don't know who lives there, you know, by Weldon Springs. We got a few people who live there. And we walked in, and there was this huge house with a big driveway. And we went in. And then now I saw the guy's name, so I knew his name. And I put everything back in, and I'm holding the money clip. So I told my wife, Carmen, hey, baby, you just wait here. I'm going to go in, and it's this big house. And I'm going to go ahead and just try to turn this in. So I go in, and there's this door there with a big knocker there. Dong, dong, dong. Yeah, and then, true story, guys. I'm not. And then this guy comes out. This guy had a cross section between Dwayne "The Rock" Johnson and Mr. Clean. Okay, for real, I mean. And then here's me. And then this comes out of his mouth. Yeah. And I'm like, and then my wife is in the car like this. Kidding you not, guys. This guy was impressive, you know. Is he here by any time? I don't know. Good. So he's like, yeah. And so I call his name. I don't recall his name. And I'm holding the money bag, the money clip here. And I go in, well, listen, my name is JC. And my wife, and we were coming off Target, and then we found this. And he goes, honey, they found it. They found it, my clip, my money. He changed his demeanor. He was like, he went from there to, and then he started looking at me. And then I went and I turned it in. And he's looking at me like, here's this guy with that funny accent or something. And he's just checking me out. He's just looking at me like, and I'm like, and then all I said, hey, the golden rule. You know, I want somebody who'll do the same for me should I ever lose my wallet. God bless you. Give him the, and he just stood up there like. And we left. And then I asked myself, I remember asking myself, what did really, really happen? I mean, and now as I was preparing this message, seeds. That fell along the way. See, I don't know what happened, but all I know is that there was goodness from God. That goodness from God that allowed me. And I'm going to start closing. I said that the Lord is coming back, and we all know that. Jesus is coming. But I was praying, and I'm realizing that we're preaching the come of the Lord through the eyes of fear. And allow me to explain. We, through the eyes of fear. You know, whoa, you better go, Jesus is coming. Yeah, it is. But I remember being a kid. And we all probably have this same scenario. Being a kid, and then I remember my mom and my brother, we were like just being kids, man, they're awful. And then my mom would say, you just wait until your dad comes home. I'm going to tell him, and he's going to, you know what's going to happen. I'm like, ooh, wow. See, we were preaching it from fear. And it should be the way, all the way around. You know, tell it as it is, but with the love. You know, our attitude. our testimony and modeling the fruit, what God has done on us. And I'm going to ask a favor. I'm going to ask, and trust me, I want everybody to close their eyes. Just a second. Because God showed me, and I lost my dad 8 months, back in October, about 8 months ago. And quite honestly, my dad loved me, and I loved him. But I never told him that. I never told my dad, I love you. I don't remember hearing my dad tell me, I love you. And what if, imagine this, just humor me. What if God allows you to have 5 minutes with a loved one that has gone, has passed. Maybe you lost a daughter. Maybe you lost a son. Maybe you lost your dad or your mom or someone very, very special. And if you knew that that person was coming back tomorrow, that God is granting you 5 minutes, what would you tell that person? Remember, you got 5 minutes. What would you tell that person? I guarantee you, I don't know, but this is what I would tell my dad. I would come in and just hug him and tell him, Dad, I love you. I love you. Now, can you imagine what is it going to be when Jesus comes in? Are we preaching it from the fear side or from the love? Are we preaching it from the side of love? Because what are we going to tell? What is he going to tell us? He's going to run to us. He's going to hug us. He's going to take us to the Father. Guys, I don't know who I'm bringing this to, but our attitude, people are watching us. And if we can change our attitude and just demonstrate what God has done in us, our testimony, again, we're not perfect, man. We're not. And just model what the fruit, the love. I guarantee you, you know, and I'm going to close with this. If we can close on 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 9. And I'll close with this, guys. It says, this is a very well-known passage, and I'm over 5 minutes. It says, but what? It says, after all, who is Apollos? And what is it? What is Paul? Who is Paul? Only servants through whom came to believe, as the Lord has assigned us to each his task. Next verse. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field in God's building. This is God's field. This is God's building. How do we bring him in? How do we give that not the seed? Because the seed, if you read this parable, the seed gave birth at in every terrain, whether it was in the gravel, was whether on the rocks or the thorns or the way. It gave. So the seed is not a problem. It was the heart. But if we can just give as we go around our ways, man, give that chance that people see, they might want to come over here. And this is a hospital. Because again, we're all broken, but we're being redeemed. So that's my message today. God bless you and thank you. Amen.
Awesome, JC. Loved it. Amen. Can we do something quick and easy? The youth, can you grab a couple of the youth and be on this side? Pray for people that need healing or anything of that nature. On this side, and we'll have our regular prayer team on this side. So JC is great. Yes, love it. Have a great attitude. Share your testimony. God commands us to do it. It changes things. And be fruitful. So have a great week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.